So we have an interview in progress by the Big Tea Party, which is an anarchist lifestyle show that airs on public access. And so we're just going to let you listen to one person's experience doing their RNC and his experience in jail.
People were being held incommunicado for the first 12-some hours I was there, the first, like, 12 hours after I was arrested. I wasn't given any food. People began demanding, you know, medics, began to demand food, began to demand phone calls. Every time the cops came back, people would bang on the walls. A lot of people in there were not giving their names. A lot of people were not complying with fingerprinting because we were getting jerked around. They weren't giving anybody their phone calls. They were telling people, oh, if you get fingerprinted, we'll give you a phone call. And then they would take them off for fingerprinting, fingerprint them, and then put them right back in the cell. And they kept telling us this. And it's like, well, you didn't do that for the last three people, so we're not going to believe you. So eventually, after this went on, it was about 2 o'clock on Thursday night, after I'd been in for about 12 hours, they finally capitulated, and the people in my cell block were allowed to make one phone call. Since I was with the legal office, they elected me, so I went, made the phone call, told them of the people who were there, and I found out the legal office was unaware at that time that anybody was at the 23rd. We were just, like, lost to the world. So anyway, we were there. I was there at the 23rd District up by Temple University for 2 days.
Again, what were you being charged with?
I was charged with, what I found out eventually when I got arraigned was obstruction of the highway, disorderly conduct, failure to disperse, and obstruction of justice. All misdemeanors, but a lot of them for just trying to take a picture.
And how are you going to handle your case?
I'm taking my case to trial. I'm going to be fighting it. I have witnesses, and I think I will win.
And he was a legal observer, too.
Thank you.
And the whole point in taking the picture was of a couple of cops who were roughing up a protester. So we were talking about the differences between this and the trials here in Philadelphia and the experience of people who were arrested and subsequently let go or signed out on $5 fine in D.C. and those hundreds of people who just, you know, 100 or 200 people who have been arrested in L.A. and how the experience is just so completely different from here in Philadelphia. And you have this wonderful report here called The Empire Strikes Back, Police Repression of Protest from Seattle to L.A. And anyone that wants a copy of this can go to rad@gte.net. That's rad@gte.net. So could you tell me a little bit about this report?
Hi, yes, my name is Firecracker, and this is an excellent analysis of what's been going on over the last year in the movement. With police repression, as well as, like, the criminalization of dissent is what we're calling this. And here, I think what makes Philadelphia different is I've been here for the last 2 months since the Republican National Convention, and I've seen the way that that people are standing up. Instead of taking ARD, which is a way to sign out and to have 6 months probation and pay, I think, somewhere between $300 and $400, people are making political statements that they are going to trial, that they are not going to be considered the good protesters. The misdemeanors are not going to be the good protesters, and then in return, and then called, like, the people who are the accused felons, the bad protesters. There's not going to be any separation in Philadelphia. And I think that's a big thing that we're looking at, is that other protests in Seattle, there was a big split between violent and nonviolent protesters. Here in Philadelphia, people are coming together and saying, we're standing up for each other. We're doing solidarity. We're in court solidarity. And that's what's happening here, is there's a big statement that was made today in the courtroom that said that not only are they standing up for themselves, but standing up for all political prisoners, as well as Mumia Abu-Jamal, which is, you know, this is unprecedented in, you know, in this movement. As well as, like, in this one report, the one thing I wanted to note was that here in Philadelphia, people are being charged with conspiracy, and that's not been in any other place. And this has not happened since what he documents, since Chicago, the Chicago 7 conspiracy trial following the 1968 Chicago Democratic Convention. And says that this is still a legendary court case, and that's travesty of injustice, and that all defendants were acquitted, and the avalanche of contempt citations issued by the trial judge carrying years of jail time were thrown out on appeal. So that's what we're hoping is going to happen here in Philly, and that everyone will be acquitted of these charges, and that we hope to have a new trial for Mumia.
And you see that happening. So the report is going to be, you can get it, it's not online, but you can get it from Paul Rosenberg, who is the author. You can reach him at rad@gte.net. Rad is R-A-D. It's called The Empire Strikes Back, Police Repression from Seattle to L.A. Police Repression of Protests from Seattle to L.A. All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, I hope that was good enough.
Excuse me, you had said that the protesters should have saved their statements for the trial?
They can save them. Trial, yes.
Oh, they can.
Because there's no reporter, there's no stenographer here today. Their statements aren't being memorialized in any way today.
So, just a scheduling time. What was the purpose of telling them not to make statements?
Only because it doesn't serve any purposes, including the purposes that they would like to be heard. There's no one really to hear it today. It's not being memorialized. And this is a scheduling conference. This isn't a trial or any kind of a proceeding in which any evidence is being put forth.
But why tell them to be quiet if it doesn't really mean anything anyway?
Only because we're trying to get through the cases as quickly as we can and get everyone a trial date so that they know when their trial dates are and can start preparing for trial.
Well, you guys don't normally work on Saturdays anyway, so isn't it still like overtime?
No, we don't get overtime.
You don't?
No, we do not.
Oh, wow. So what's the process from here on out? Trial dates and?
Trial dates and trials.
Trial dates and trials. And the district attorney, what's the office's position on looking forward to the trials? Do they think they'll be pretty successful?
We don't think about cases in terms of being successful.
How do you approach a case?
Just to prepare the cases, subpoena our witnesses, and put the cases on. We deal with almost 70,000 cases a year in Philadelphia and 200 more that we have to prepare for. That's how we deal with it. It doesn't really change our outlook on prosecution, any of them.
Okay. What's your name?
Elizabeth Jobes, J-O-B-E-S. I'm the assistant DA. Handle the cases.
All right. Thanks a lot.